Welcome to the New Wine Podcast. My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is the eighth New Wine Podcast, and here's the question we'll try to answer this time. Of what value is humility in the life of a follower of Jesus? I think my two primary weaknesses in life are that, number one, I often think I'm right, and number two, I can easily be perceived as arrogant. Now, I can make some excuses or offer some explanations as to why I am the way that I am. I'm well educated, I'm a lifelong learner, and I have some success in my track record. But the truth is that humility is not something that comes naturally to me. Two stories help illustrate this well. Here's the first one. When I was in sixth grade, my family and I had just started attending a new church. I was the new kid in the group, and as a result, I was a bit quiet. Now, anyone who knows me will think this is crazy, since I just love to talk. Now, during a silly little Sunday school award ceremony, the Sunday school teacher gave each child an award, including me. Since he didn't know me very well, and since I was still being relatively quiet, he gave me the Most Humble Award. I gladly received it, and then, without any hesitation, bragged about it a ton. And here's the second story that illustrates my lack of humility. When I was graduating from high school, some of the adults in my life, most of whom were from our church, gave me books as a gift. That year, I probably received 4 or 5 copies of the Christian classic by Andrew Murray entitled Humility. I couldn't help but think that my adult friends and mentors were trying to send me a message. But on the flip side, I have some evidence in my life that I do actually value humility and that I don't have an overinflated view of myself. I've been perfectly fine in my life being underemployed, though of course I'd prefer to be compensated adequately for my skills and experience. I've grown in my thinking quite a bit over the years, often taking complete 180s on significant issues when it's become apparent to me that I'm way off base. And I enjoy working in teams, and I even enjoy sharing or giving away all the credit. It really doesn't bother me that much. In other words, I bet I'm a lot like all of you. Sometimes I'm full of myself, and sometimes I'm as humble as they come. So to get started on this podcast for real, we'll have to be on the same page about what humility means. Unfortunately, it seems that sometimes people think it means beating yourself up through self-denigration or generally having a low opinion of yourself. This misunderstanding can be seen in the way that many philosophers have talked about humility over the ages. Here's what Aristotle had to say about it around 2300 years ago. He left it off all of his list of virtues. Instead, he preferred what he called being great-souled, which, by any definition, is not the same thing as humility. David Hume, the famous philosopher, in his 1983 book entitled An Inquiry into the Principle of Morals, said that humility and all of the monkish values, the values that monks hold, should be rejected by men of sense because they serve no manner of purpose. They neither advance a man's fortune in the world nor render him a more valuable member of society. They neither qualify him for the entertainment of company nor increase his power of self-enjoyment. And he moved the idea of humility from the column of virtue and instead placed it into the column of vice. Now, there are many other examples that could be given here from folks who devalue humility. And if humility means building a false case against yourself, ignoring your innate and learned talents and skills, and actively positioning yourself to fail, then I agree. Humility is a vice. But the working definition that many people have of humility is unhelpful, and most likely quite wrong. Here's a description of humility that I like. It's from Michael W. Austin, who is a professor of philosophy at Eastern Kentucky University, who also blogs on psychologytoday.com. He says this: "The humble person keeps her accomplishments, gifts, and talents in a proper perspective. She has self-knowledge and is aware of her limitations as an individual and as a human being. But humble individuals are also oriented toward others. They value the welfare of other people, and they have the ability to forget themselves as well when appropriate." So the humble person has proper perspective on herself. which allows her to have space and energy to be oriented toward others and the welfare of others. This sounds an awful lot like the way Jesus talks about being humble. He says to his disciples that they will do greater things than him when the Spirit comes to them in John 14:12, but he also tells them in Matthew 25 to care for the least of these, that is, be others focused, even when the others can't reciprocate the service. Paul echoes the same sentiment in Philippians 2:3-4, where he writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." So perhaps a decent working definition of humility would go something like this: having an honest appraisal of oneself that allows for the interests of others to be pursued, and that it deepens the desire for this pursuit as well. So humility doesn't mean lying about your accomplishments because you don't want to seem too arrogant. And it doesn't mean trying not to achieve anything of value for fear of accolades. And humility doesn't mean having false humility when someone gives you praise. Here's a quick side note. A preacher friend of mine once told me that the best thing to say to someone when they compliment you, especially for something that you did in a worship service like singing or praying or preaching, etc., is to simply say, "Thank you." If you go on and on about how it was all the move of the Spirit or how you were sleepy and you didn't really do your best, what you're communicating is not gratitude for the compliment, but a false sense of humility, which has the sole purpose of building up your self-esteem in an unethical manner. But what humility does look like is taking an honest assessment of yourself and your skills, and then putting that assessment to use by serving and loving others. What good would it do any of us if we learned that we were good at some things and not good at others and did nothing with this knowledge? And from a Christian perspective, what good is done in regard to the good news of Jesus and his kingdom if all we focus on is our strengths to look awesome or our weaknesses to look falsely humble? Instead of all that nonsense, let's just be honest. Here's my shot at it. I'm an experienced teacher, scholar, pastor, and writer who has deep passions and some talent for speaking, mentoring, writing, and leadership development. I excel when given space to work, and I love to dream big. But I'm not always great at organization, details, compassion, or knowing when to shut up. And while I try to address these weaknesses in various ways, I don't let them hold me back from seeking to be used by God. Now, I'm not sure how humble that last little bit was, but it felt honest to me. In fact, let me know what you think. Is my self-assessment humble, or is it arrogant or falsely humble? Leave me a comment on my blog at jaymatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. Let me know, was I being humble there or not? Now that we've got some idea of what humility is, we can address the question we started with. Of what value is humility in the life of a follower of Jesus? I hope all the dots are already beginning to connect for you. First of all, being a follower of Jesus means that we are lifelong learners sitting under the tutelage of Jesus, the Master. But he doesn't call us to just sit there and learn for ourselves. No. Instead, he asks us to help form others into lifelong learners of his as well. In the process of forming folks, they will follow our lead and will be changed and transformed in the process as well. But the job of helping form a lifelong learner of Jesus, that is, making a disciple, is one that requires skill and an honest self-assessment of where we are. To put it a different way, it's assumed that a follower of Jesus is a leader, a person who leads others into being formed into lifelong learners of Jesus. And this formation process requires us to use our God-given and learned gifts, talents, and skills. So a humble person has a leg up in this endeavor because she already has a decent self-assessment of what she can contribute to the formation of others. She understands what tools she has in her toolbox, and she has a growing knowledge of how to use those tools as well. But a conceited person, an arrogant person, isn't interested in having an honest self-assessment of strengths and weaknesses. He simply believes that he is the best thing since sliced bread, and that he doesn't need help from anyone when helping form others into lifelong learners of Jesus. In fact, he may position himself in such a way so that only his strengths are seen, so that others will begin to share in his overinflated view of himself. However, the falsely humble person, the person who only focuses on his weakness, doesn't do a good job of leading either. He spends all of his time deflecting praise, hiding strengths, and denigrating himself so that he has no more energy to help form lifelong followers of Jesus. And even if he did, wouldn't he just form more falsely humble followers of Jesus? Secondly, following Jesus requires us to be others-focused. And that is what the humble person is. He has enough margin in his life to have time, space, and resources for others. In fact, he desperately wants to love, to serve, and to encourage others. The humble follower of Jesus makes it a point to help those around him grow and to grow from them as well, no matter if they are near to Jesus or far from him indeed. But the arrogant follower of Jesus doesn't have margin. She spends all of her time talking herself up, shining the spotlight on herself, and making sure that others have her best interests at heart. She certainly doesn't have time to pour into the lives of others unless, of course, they could possibly reciprocate some love, attention, or the like back to her. And on the other hand, the falsely humble person doesn't believe that she is good enough to serve anyone. She doesn't think that she has anything to offer, and she tries hard to convince everyone of this self-opinion. And thirdly, the humble person realizes that she needs community in order to follow Jesus well. Even though she's aware that she has gifts and experience, she also knows that she has weaknesses. She needs others to complement her. She needs others to help her grow in spite of her weaknesses. She believes wholeheartedly that community is the only way to help form others into lifelong followers of Jesus. As you might have guessed, the arrogant follower of Jesus doesn't think he needs community. He can do it all on his own. He believes, or at least he acts like, God has blessed him with every single thing he needs in order to help fulfill our mission to form others into lifelong learners of Jesus. So why would he need anyone's help? And the falsely humble person doesn't do community well because he's convinced that he has nothing to offer. Why would anyone want to be connected to him since he thinks of himself as a loser and makes sure to communicate that self-assessment to others? Community is also impossible for the person who's falsely humble because it points out all the ways that he's not as good as others. He may say things like, well, I can't teach like her, and I'm not compassionate like him, and I'm certainly not a good leader like she is. His self-denigration prevents him from ever being of use to himself, to his community, or to the wider world. So if humility is so important to following Jesus, how do we become more humble? What do we do? Here are a few pieces of advice. Number one, study intently the life of Jesus. Learn from his humility. Paul tells us that Jesus humbled himself by becoming one of us, becoming a human. He does that in Philippians 2. He tells us that. And this is certainly true. But Jesus' humility is seen all over his life. If there was ever anyone who could brag, it was Jesus. But you never see him doing that. And you also never see himself beating himself up for getting tired or hungry or anything else. He just moves forward in fulfillment of his purpose. Jesus is comfortable with who he is, and he's confident that he can do that for which he was sent. But he knows he needs others. Now, he doesn't need others in all the ways that we do, necessarily, but he did need them nonetheless. I assume that Jesus needed emotional support from time to time, as we see the night before he died when he asked some of his friends to come and pray with him. I also assume that Jesus needed logistical help from time to time, and we see that just before he enters Jerusalem for the last time, he sends some folks ahead to take care of Passover arrangements for he and his disciples. And I also know that Jesus could only be in one place at a time when he took on human flesh. So, from time to time, he needed to expand his influence by sending out others in his name, which we see in Luke 9, when Jesus sends out the 12, and then again in Luke 10, when he sends out the 72. And lastly, Jesus was absolutely others-focused, so much so that he died for the sake of others. Jesus is our prime example of humility, and it would do us well if we examined his human life and sought to live what we see there in our human lives, to paraphrase missional practitioner and thought leader Hugh Halter. Number two, how else can we become more humble? We can seek the help of others. Being humble can be hard. Some of us lean toward arrogance, and others lean toward self-denigration. Not many of us find a sweet spot in the middle to live into. So what do we do? Well, here's what I have found helpful. Surround yourself with people who feel free and able to speak truth into your life. Now, preferably, it'd be nice if they spoke this truth to you in love, but you can't control that. In fact, in my experience, sometimes we all need to be kicked in the pants to hear what someone is saying. So maybe it would be wise to ask a trusted friend or two to give you an assessment of where you are in the humility department. In fact, research has shown that we humans are pretty good at discerning humility in others, but we're really stinky at seeing it in ourselves. So we need other people to help us get and stay humble. In addition, be a good friend and serve others in this way too, when it's appropriate, and if you have permission explicitly or through years of being in loving community, help others become and stay humble too. Here's the third way that we can become more humble. We can be on mission. There's not much that will keep you more humble than seeking to join with God in the reconciling work he's doing in the world. You'll quickly learn your strengths and weaknesses. You'll see the silliness behind lying about either. And it will become readily apparent that you can't really do a great job of helping form a lifelong learner of Jesus by yourself. Being humble and being missional go hand in hand. Why is this? Well, a humble person is a self-aware person who has the space and desire to serve others. That sounds like the perfect person to be part of a community on mission. But also, hear Jesus' words in John 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And Jesus, he was sent in humility. He was born into humble beginnings. He lived within humble means. He preached using humble words. He served in humility, and he died a humble and sacrificial death. If Jesus was sent in that much humility, what makes us think that we would be sent in some other manner? So friends, our call is simple and straightforward. Be humble. Living out our humility brings honor to God, it points people to Jesus, and it allows us to connect deeply with community. Thanks for exploring the concept of humility with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and also check out my website, jaymatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. And while you're at my website, get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission in 1 John. There, on my website, there will be a bar at the top of the screen where you can enter your email address so that you can be emailed a download link. Thanks so much for your time. Grace and peace.